Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
VGW Group. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Blog Talk Radio.
Hello and welcome to the fourth episode of Hell in a Cell Talk Radio. I am Double D, your host. With me, as always, is the above average comedian, Dangerous Dan Law. And of course, Go Thompson.
Go.
Guys, we have a packed show. We are, I don't even know what to say. We have Robert Knight will be here momentarily. I just received a message from Kit. We have to get him on the line. He's going to take a break from he's on the trail right now. Some evildoers, I believe, some miners in New Orleans. I could be wrong.
Or maybe it was a lady tanning her 5-year-old in a tanning bed.
Or that, I'm not sure. later on, we also have legendary referee John Finnegan. I know I'm very excited about that as well. And then we're going to be speaking with Papadon, the current.
Who?
The Greek god Papadon.
Oh. I hope he didn't hear that.
ECWA heavyweight champion. And he's going to talk about the ECWA Divide and Conquer show coming up this Saturday night from Newark, Delaware. But like I said, we got to get right to it. We're going to get to Robert Knight. As I said, he'll be here. Here's his theme music to kick things off. Okay, Robert, you're on the line with Hell in a Cell Talk Radio. How are you doing tonight?
What's going on? I'm doing great. I'm actually out in Phoenix, Arizona, checking out some jewel thieves out here. We took care of the coal miners a couple weeks ago, so we're out here in Phoenix taking care of business today.
Okay, taking care of business out in Phoenix. I did receive from the foundation some fan mail. It was directed to me. So are we ready to answer some fan mail here?
Sure, let's jump right into it.
Okay, it's Dear Mr. Knight, it's me, your old buddy Mike Reed. Looking forward to seeing you Sunday, pal. Listen, I wanted to ask you something important. I know you're going to be the special guest referee in my match Sunday. Would you please allow me to pretend to be champion again for this match before you beat me and take back your belt? Please, buddy. Your friend of the till the end. The make-believe U.S. champion, Mike Reed.
You know, what is there to say to something like that? Mike Reed, you know, I'm flattered by you even asking for my permission to continue to be the United States champion, but, pal, your days are numbered. You know, each and every day when you wake up with my belt, you're on borrowed time. So, no, I'm not going to do you any favors. As a matter of fact, I'm the special guest referee this Sunday for your match with Tank Toland. And being the stand-up guy that I am, I'm going to call it right down the middle like only the Knight Rider can. But believe me when I tell you, that belt's coming back to me very, very soon.
Okay. Now, you did bring up Sunday. There's a big card for you guys, New Moon Rising Wrestling, Fully Loaded. Do you want to give us any information about that?
It's going to be a real big show coming up this Sunday. It's 2 p.m. in Woodbury, New Jersey. People can check out nmrwrestling.com for the current card as it stands. And I can keep saying as it stands because I have some information at the Meat Society. He's got some big things planned for the card on Sunday, so we're going to have to wait and see what happens. Although I do know that I have been asked to bring my referee gear, so I'm definitely going to be in the ring and involved in Mike Reed's match.
There you go.
And that's Mike Reed against Hank Tolan, right?
Yes, two guys that I have a history with.
Okay. Now, I do have another letter, and here we go. Dear Knight Rider, my name is Donald Warren, and I'm writing on behalf of the New Moon Rising Wrestling Board of Directors. As you may have seen on nmrwrestling.com, we have announced that Commissioner Crapforface has been relieved of his duties, and the Nigerian Nightmares have been suspended. We just wanted to let you know that you have nothing to fear. We are all huge fans and supporters of yours. Go get 'em, Tiger. Sincerely, Donald Warren.
Now, you see, that's a letter that can be respected, not something from that imposter U.S. champion, Mike Reed. Donald Warren seems like a great guy. You know, I truly respect what the board of directors is doing. The best decision that they made is get rid of Crapforface as commissioner, because it's been nothing but madness both in the ring and in the locker room since that guy's been in charge. Maybe now we're going to see some changes, and I definitely appreciate their kind words coming to the Knight Rider.
Okay, and speaking of the Nigerian Nightmares, the reason they were suspended was because of their vicious attacks on referee Jimmy Dillon, am I correct?
Yeah, exactly, and it wasn't the first time. I mean, they beat up our previous commissioner, Jason Baines, is actually still in the guy's been in the hospital for 3 or 4 months from the beating he got at the hands of the Nigerian Nightmares. Now they're beating up referees, and also it's an important decision to suspend those guys, get them out of the picture. We've got to maintain some order around here. Otherwise, the board of directors is going to have to hire me, not just to be a wrestler, but to enforce the law, which is normally what I take care of during the week.
Okay, now just I always ask the hard-hitting questions. Who is behind the mysterious board of directors?
They're keeping that even hush-hush from us right now. So far, Donald Warren's been the only guy that's come forward as a representative, so we actually don't even know if he's part of the board of directors. So I'm wondering if they're going to unveil themselves at some point, but as of right now, not even the talent in New Moon Rising Wrestling knows who the board of directors is.
Okay. Knight Rider, do you have anything else you want to plug or say?
Yeah, before I go, again, aside from the show coming up this Sunday, I do want to let people know that May the 12th, the Monster Factory is having free open tryouts, and the response has been great so far. You can check out monsterfactory.org for that. And some of the judges, now we have not only Jake Bishop, we have Luis the Punisher Martinez, who is a New Moon Rising Wrestling champion. We have Mike Reed, obviously Pretty Boy Larry Sharp. We have comedian Reverend Bob Levy, and just signed a guy who's WWE.com last week named one of their top 10 journeymen, the Duke of Dorchester, Pete Doherty, is going to be on hand in the judges panel. And real quick about Pete Doherty, he actually sent me a fan letter this week. And, you know, if he pulls through with what he's saying, I'm going to have to slap that guy in the mouth right there, no matter how old he is at the tryout. I don't think that guy ever won a match anyway, did he?
I don't think so. He was usually on the undercard at the Boston Garden. That's the only place I ever saw him.
I don't think he
won. I think so.
Okay, Robert, it's always a pleasure. We keep on getting more and more fan mail from the Foundation. They forward it to us, so hopefully next week you can stop by and answer some more.
Sounds great. Thanks for having me, guys.
Okay, you have a great night, Robert.
You too. One man can make a difference.
That's it. That is definitely right. Okay, you have a good night now.
I got to tell you,
that's awesome.
I am excited to see that guy on Sunday. I'm gonna get one of those 8x10s of his, and I'm gonna hang it right up on my wall, right between my picture of my cousin Luke and my grand Mima.
Seriously, that is awesome.
That is the Knight Rider, right?
Everything the promos, everything he does is awesome.
Pure gold. He is living the life, baby. That's not a promo.
Okay. Well, no, when you still cut a promo, real or not, is what I mean.
I got you.
Everything he's done so far, awesome.
Okay, now we're switching gears. And actually,
we're moving right along.
Yeah, the next guest we have is actually one of Robert's favorite matches. This man refereed.
Oh.
That's right. We're going to have John Finnegan on in just a few seconds. But of course, John Finnegan has had a legendary career. He's been in the original TWA.
He's a legend.
He's been in ECW, of course. He is the current official, senior official of ECWA. He's been all around the East Coast, so it is it's very exciting to have John Finnegan on in just a few. Either of you guys want to say anything about Finnegan?
What can be? I think you pretty much took care of that, buddy.
Yeah, you summed it up. But seriously,
one of those guys I saw every week watching ECW. I mean, a legend.
So go ahead, Mark.
Oh, no, there's just so much I wish we could ask him, and it feels like we're so short on time because this show is so action-packed this week.
It is an action-packed show. I'm thinking of going to 2 hours, but we'll talk about that later on. And it is with great pleasure that I welcome to Hell in a Cell, Mr. John Finnegan. How are you tonight, sir?
Woohoo!
Are you there?
No, he heard
you. Yes, you.
He's there.
Okay. John, my first question. A lot of people like to rip apart the legacy of ECW. What do you have to say in response to that?
Well, there Saturday night, they probably had a good reason too, but unfortunately, the legacy of ECW, I think, and you still hear it today, no matter whatever arena you're in or small fire hall or VFW halls, you continue to hear ECW chants when certain guys do certain things, and I don't think you can ever say that about any other organization that's been around. ECW revolutionized the business. Good, bad, or indifferent, it'll go down in history. I don't think it'll ever be duplicated.
And that's pretty much what I would say about the whole ECW experience. Now, my second question is, I just want to get this out of the way now. Your personal thoughts on the Extreme reunion that happened this past Saturday?
Well, I guess there was good and bad. It was great to see a lot of the guys I hadn't seen in a while. All the guys that worked guys and girls that worked on the show, 95% of them went out there and busted their butts, like they always did in ECW. Unfortunately, there's some people that have trouble over the years and seem to continue to have the same troubles, and I hope they can get themselves straightened out, but they need to get away from the wrestling business. I think it's go do something else, take care of yourself, get yourself straightened out, and just step away for a while. It's a shame to see some of the guys in the condition that they were in, but unfortunately it's in the business, and I don't think it's ever going to go away. But I wish them all the best. Deep down, they're good people. They love the business as much as I do and anybody else that's talking to you guys tonight. But there's got to be a time where you step away and you say, I got to take care of number one, and I think that's got to be done soon.
How do you feel about being involved with ECW? You talk about, its cultural ramifications, but you personally, what does ECW mean to you?
Well, actually, it started with me. TWA kind of was the start of ECW. With Joel Goodhart, which Joel tried to get going, and unfortunately that came to an end, but then ECW grew from that. I've loved professional wrestling since I sat on the couch with my grandmother at 5 years old and always wanted to get involved. And to be involved in something that has such an effect on people still to this day is pretty neat to be a part of. And everybody worked hard. It was a family atmosphere. We loved to entertain the people. The people that came to see us were just as much a part of the show as we were, because they were so rabid and emotional about what they saw. It just made the whole atmosphere just something really special.
Well, speaking of the show, we always hear a lot about the wrestlers doing different jobs behind the scenes. What else did you do behind the scenes in your time in ECW?
Pretty much anything that was asked of you. I mean, you would help out putting match together, putting lineups up. I pretty much handled the assignments for referees. Whatever was asked, really. Nothing other than obviously refereeing the matches. You always were looking to help.
Okay. It looks like you broke in from the Monster Factory. Is that correct?
Well, actually, I live in South Jersey, and at the time I wanted to start to get into the business, Buddy Rogers actually was living in Haddonfield, New Jersey.
Yeah, Haddonfield represent.
Yeah. So I actually, and I knew he was involved with the Monster Factory, so and I knew exactly where he lived. So I basically went up to his door, a front door, knocked on it, and then said, "Hey, Mr. Rogers, I'm John. I'd like to get in the wrestling business. What do I do?"
Oh, my God.
He shook my hand, brought me into the house, where I was probably in there for an hour just listening and talking. And at that time, he was just getting out of the involvement of the Monster Factory with Larry. But he told me, "Go to the Monster Factory, Larry will take care of you." So the night I went the next night, the night I went there, Larry was on vacation. And a guy by the name of Dick Worley, who I'm sure everyone knows.
Yeah.
Was actually there that night taking care of the school for Larry while he was on vacation. And Dick pulled me aside, and there weren't – I was actually the only guy there that was looking to become a ref. Actually, Bam Bigelow was just starting then, and he was actually there that night as well. And Dick pulled me aside and said, "I'll give you a call in a couple of days, and we'll talk about this and see how serious you are." And he actually called me a couple of days and kind of talked me out of going to the Monster Factory, and I ended up traveling around with Dick for about a year and a half.
Wow.
To different shows, getting in the ring before shows with him. And at that time, he was involved with everything that an athletic commission was assigning referees to in Maryland and Jersey and Pennsylvania. So I got to go travel with him and work out before shows, the likes of Tully Blanchard's and Arn Anderson's and all your Northeast indie guys and journeymen that were all up and down Jersey and Pennsylvania and New York, and really got lucky. Lucky the night I went there, and the rest is history.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
I have to ask you this one. I would always hear stories of the crowd afterwards, because everyone would leave out the ECW arena. And I heard this one tale of one time someone trying to touch Tammy Lynn and a fight breaking out and Sabu running off a car. Is there any truth to this story?
I did hear that myself. I didn't see it at the time it happened. There were many of, we'll say, altercations before, after, during. They're endless situations, let's say, that happened in all the arena shows. It was, God, after the show, there were shows out in the back. There were shows at Tony Luke's. There were shows out in Swanson and Rittner.
Tony Luke's.
It was an event all night Saturday.
Well, speaking of the arena, was there another building, whether it was good or bad, that in your career that you felt that atmosphere during a wrestling event?
We were just talking about this at the Extreme Reunion Saturday. Somebody from the New York Bus Club actually asked a question. Other than Philly or New York, what was your favorite town to work in? And I immediately said Chicago.
Wow.
We had a couple of Chicago pay-per-views there and a couple house shows, but the crowd atmosphere at those pay-per-views were – second to none. I was, there were obviously bigger crowds in the arena. We're talking 4,000 or 5,000 people.
Yeah.
And that Chicago, even to this day, Chicago, I think, is probably one of the best wrestling cities in the world, as partial as I am to Philadelphia, being born in Philly and living right across the bridge from there. Chicago is
yeah.
probably number one and two, right up there with everybody else.
Okay, now, I want to get into, like, the role of a referee in the ring and, like, something that you think the fans often overlook about a referee. What is the role of a referee and something you think fans miss?
Well, the role of the referee really is to assist the guys that are in there to make sure, obviously, of time and position. Number one, stay the heck out of their way. But number two, be there for them. A lot of guys, a lot of referees will remember spots or certain things that need to happen. Some guys may get lost, and you may want to help them out. Keep the flow of the match going. Make sure it's not going over time. You're there to help. I mean, just as he said, what did you do behind the scenes? My role, or a referee's role, is there to make sure the show and the matches go as planned.
Was there ever a time in ECW, whether it was on TV, on pay-per-view or not, or in your career, where something was missed and in the middle of the ring you were like, oh, my God?
I tell you, I just off the top of my head, I'd have to say I was pretty lucky as far as pay-per-view or TV. I can't remember anything that went wrong.
I don't recall one.
Yeah, other than maybe going too long, too short, anything like that, but nothing off the top of my head. There's been house show mess-ups and stuff like that, but don't kick out of a finish or something. But I've been pretty lucky, I must say.
Never did a Nick Patrick Starrcade 97 and count, the normal count, huh?
No, absolutely not. No, nothing like that.
Do you have a favorite match you were involved in?
Oh, God, there's been endless matchups that I loved. If you want to just talk ECW, I always say this actually in a lot of the interviews I say, the Tommy Dreamer Raven feud of a whole year-long or more story was, I thought, one of the best things ever produced in wrestling. You just don't see that nowadays. You see things go from 1 hour to Raw to the next hour, and it's over. Listen, you're talking over a year-long storyline that just sucked everybody in and culminated into the last match, which I thought was just Paul Heyman at his best, and Tommy and Raven, of course, with their input. Having a chance to work with Dean Malenko, Eddie Guerrero, Rob Van Dam, Jerry Lynn matches were fantastic. I actually got a chance to win while when I was working for the New Jersey Athletic Commission earlier in my career in the late 80s to work Bret Hart versus Kurt Hennig, Mr. Perfect. And it was a 20-minute draw that I thought went like 30 seconds because it was just these guys did next to nothing but was just so entertaining and priceless. I'll never forget it. It was a 20-minute draw that was just great.
Wow.
Okay. Kind of on the same idea of the last question, I'm going to bring up One Night Stand 2006, I believe it was. You're the referee for the main event, John Cena, Rob Van Dam. Just explain that environment, what it was like being in there. My goodness.
Well, I thought the crowd at the arena in New York, Hammerstein, played such a great part. When I was standing in that ring, and they were the way they were taunting Cena and throwing things back at him, and just the interaction just set the whole stage. The guys, of course, worked their tails off, and I thought did a hell of a job, and just the whole. And John Cena can throw a real stiff clothesline, too, by the way, in case you were wondering. Yeah, it does hurt.
But it was
fun. Actually, both those pay-per-views, the first and the second, were, again, it was another celebration of ECW. Vince will tell you that he taught those people how to chant ECW, but the people came out in thousands, and the pay-per-view was one of the best pay-per-views of the year, both years, and it was all because of those three letters again.
Yep, absolutely. I have a question that might have the possibility of falling right on its butt. There is a guy that I used to talk to very infrequently. He was a wrestler at ECW, many, many independents, and I know you've met hundreds, if not thousands, of people, by the name of Kodiak Bear. Do you remember that guy, and what was he like if you do?
I remember the name.
Ah.
You're talking real early, I believe.
He was up till 97. He was still wrestling in the early 2000s, too. He was a big, big, hairy guy.
I remember him. I apologize for not thinking of something off the top of my head, but no, I couldn't tell you anything other than I remember the name.
I've been looking to contact him for a long time. Figured I'd ask live. Go, Mark.
All right, more of a down note question, I guess. Did you know at a certain point, could you feel it, like it that ECW had, like the days were numbered and you felt like something was going to end poorly?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah, whenever every one of your checks get bouncing right down the street when you drop them off at the bank, before you pulled out of the parking lot, something was happening. But, I shouldn't say as bad as it ended. It was still the guys that were there just hung in there and continued to deliver for the fans, even though behind the scenes and when we were trying to get paid, it was a nightmare. But they just would not stop going out and entertaining the people, because that's just the way ECW grew into what it was. But yeah, you knew it was coming. The last pay-per-view, in fact, I said to Paul, the last pay-per-view before the two final house shows that were the week later, which I didn't do. I did the last pay-per-view. The last pay-per-view in New York was my final show. And I said to Paul, if he actually did pay me something, I said, Paul, thanks for everything. And he says, what are you talking about? I said, thanks for everything. And I just walked away. Next time I saw him, we're all on TV.
Oh, jeez. Was there a time at its peak where you thought the ECW was going to be able to compete on the same level as, well, not WCW Nitro, but WWE at any point?
I think there was hope that it would. You knew the talent was there to do it. You knew that the mind and the knowledge within the promotion was there to do it. But you knew you had to be a realist. Just the money was not there to compete on a level with a McMahon and a Turner Broadcasting. It just wasn't feasible. No.
Even on TNN, there was, I mean, even from the beginning, it was obvious it wasn't a good situation, but when the TNN deal was going through, did you have a little shimmer of hope?
Yeah, I have to be honest with you and say, again, you hoped, but you just didn't think it just wasn't going to happen. Because I think there was, if I remember correctly, problems were beginning even before we went on TNN, and It was a little shaky, but then you thought TNN was going to make it a little better, but it didn't take long to realize that it's pretty much on the same level that it was.
Okay, now, when Vince revived ECW, obviously it wasn't the same, but you were offered a full-time position, am I correct?
Yeah, after the match we just spoke about, the Van Damme Cena match, I had actually left the pay-per-view that night, and Tom Dreamer, who was in charge of booking all of us guys, had told me the week before. He said, I'm going to need you for that pay-per-view, and I'm going to need you, we're going to run with ECW TV, I want you to do the first TV in Trenton. He says, can you be there? I said, yeah, I'll be there. So I did the pay-per-view. Actually didn't see Tommy leaving that night. It was kind of crazy, and everybody was rushing out of there. He called me that Monday morning, and he said to me, he said, John, they want to hire you. I said, who wants to hire me? I said, they're going to offer you a contract tomorrow at TV. You ready for it? I said, Tommy, I appreciate it, but I don't think I can walk out at this time. I'm still with the company I'm with today. I'm out of my regular job. I've been actually there 20 years just this past September. And I said to him, Tommy, I don't think they're going to be able not even worry about the money, but the benefits and the health insurance and all. He says, tell them what you want and see how it goes. I said, okay, we'll see how it goes. So we went and we did that TV, that first ECW TV show, which was a train wreck. And I remember we all were called into a meeting, the whole ECW staff, with John Laurinaitis, and he proceeded to rip all of us and tell us how horrible a show it was.
Oh, my God.
And I'm standing there thinking to myself, wait a minute. It's you and the guys that work for you are the ones that put this thing together, and we're the ones getting yelled at? But I guess I learned quickly that I guess that's the way the office works, and they're not going to take the hit for it, but the boys will.
Good old John Laurinaitis.
Yeah. So after that meeting, we all were leaving as I'm walking. I was one of the last guys to walk out of where we were having the meeting. And he said to me, John, when you get dressed, I want to talk to you. So I went to get dressed and went to see him. And, he offered me a full-time three-year deal. The money would have been wonderful, but after, of course, they don't pay any of their guys health insurance or vacation or 401k or anything like that. And at the time, I had two kids who actually were still have two kids, but they were younger then, and I just couldn't walk away from my wife and two kids and a job that I was with at that time for 15 years, and just hopefully think it's going to work when the next day they could tell you, sorry, guys, but we don't need you anymore. So it was nice. It was great to have an offer from somebody that you watched all your life when you were a little kid and to get offered that, but I just couldn't do it. But he was nice enough to let me hang for anything that was local when they started to run the house shows for a short period of time. Anything that was local, I was invited to work. So I ended up working a lot of them and actually was able to work Madison Square Garden, which was pretty neat.
Wow.
And,
so
I did that for about a year, and that was pretty much it. I probably could have went back any time they were local, but it was just like I would do a stretch of shows, and I wouldn't be around for 6 months, and I just didn't feel it was right to keep going back there and walk into a dress room and think, hey, I'm here, put me to work. So I just stopped going after about a year. But it was a great opportunity. Made some good money, worked with some great people, was able to work in the WWE family. So it was a great dream come true.
Do you have anyone that you worked with that was your favorite person to work with? I know I asked about your favorite storyline to work with, but like, who is the wrestler that like you were like, man, this guy just always just is where he needs to be and does exactly what we need him to do?
Well, it's funny you say that because I didn't know that I was one of his favorites to work with during the ECW time until he really stood out. And after a match that we did in downtown PA, and he went to Paul and says, I want this guy to be my referee all the time, and he's fantastic, his position, and this, that, and there. He was going up and down. I was just shocked, and it was Shane Douglas. And
wow.
Shane and I have been close, kind of friendly since then, and we've always talked, and he's always been complimentary to him, and I always felt comfortable working with him and enjoying working. And I guess I would have to say him.
Okay, Dan.
Hello?
I'm still here with you, John. Can you hear me?
I'm sorry. I'm back now. I lost connection for a second. That's awesome.
I heard a beep. I thought you guys hung up on me.
No, that was me trying to find what plug to plug back in.
Okay.
did you continue watching the ECW product after, you know, a couple years, and do you think for wrestling fans either who know the business a lot or just casual fans, do you think that has hurt the ECW legacy?
I don't think there's anything that can hurt the original ECW legacy.
Awesome.
Everybody that was a fan of the original ECW knows what it was, knows what it did, and I don't think it would hurt it. And I think anybody that was smart enough to realize what Vince was trying to do, he got control of the name, of the library, of the rights, and he got what he wanted and just wanted to put it to bed like he does with a lot of things.
Yes.
But I don't think it's harsh a legacy because there's too many good people too many good wrestlers, too many good fans that were an entire part of that organization and knew exactly what it did, and we'll never forget it.
Yeah, I watched, because we were talking about the Extreme Reunion, and I went back and watched the ECW DVD, and it's still, I'm still sad it's gone. I really am. Just like you, it was right across the bridge. I lived in the same area, South Jersey. We all, just like Dean, it's right across the bridge. It was right there, and it's gone.
Yeah, you and me both. It was something special. It was a fun time. It was a unique experience, and anybody you talk to, we'll say the same thing. It was just a fun time in the part of the business.
Okay, now changing gears a little bit, what do you think the biggest difference is between working a WWE show and working in the independents today?
Oh, God, the night and day. Obviously, the WWE is numero uno. There is no one, two, or three. WWE is it. That's where everybody wants to be. It's a corporation. It's run like a machine. And nowadays, that's the only place you're going to make some money if you want to make a living in this business, unless you have some success overseas. But WWE, unfortunately, is where it is, and I guess that's good and bad, and I think we missed the WCW being around, the ECW being around when they had somebody up their butt trying to give them some competition. But WWE is it today, and anybody will tell you that, no matter who or where you are in the business, that's the place to be if you want to make a living in wrestling.
Okay, and also, how did you get involved with ECWA, its current form? Because I don't think you were involved with the Kettner era. How did you get involved with this era?
Yeah, I was not involved with Jim Kettner at all. Joe Zanoli and Mike Tartaglia. And I'm sure Joe's listening right now, so we all need to give Joe a shout-out. Joe listens to every podcast, interview, anything there is in wrestling, Joe is listening. So he's probably watching and listening to about five things right now. So, hey, Joe, how are you, buddy?
Hi, Joe.
But Joe Zanoli and Mike Tartaglia, of course, from the original TWA. I trained Joe to be a referee back in the TWA days.
Yeah.
And we've been friends for years, and they came to me and said, thinking about bringing TWA back. You want to be part of it? I said, absolutely, I'm in. And we've been doing that. And Mike took over ECWA from Jim. And the rest is history. Here we are today and ready to rock and roll Saturday night. I'm sure all you guys will be down there.
Oh, I'll be there. You know that. Dan, you're next.
This is probably an obvious question, but I don't have any other good ones because you've answered them all. Do you still get the same feeling when you get into a ring or you go to a show that you always used to get earlier on in your career?
It doesn't change for me. I absolutely, absolutely love the business, love to be in the ring and do whatever it is that people seem to like. I seem to think I'm friendly with everybody. I try to be friendly with anybody. Any fan that comes up to me and takes their time to say hello and I watched you do this, I enjoy when you do that, and I have your autograph, which blows my mind, which is just ridiculous when they do that. Forget about what goes on behind the scenes and down in the bars and everything else. The product in front of the camera is the greatest experience, the most fun I've had. I've loved it all my life and just are blessed to still be a part of it.
Yeah, and you have no idea what a pleasure and an honor is to speak with you, and I appreciate the time you take too. Right back at you.
Oh, please, don't be silly. Anytime, I don't care who you are. Come up to me, say hello. I'll talk your ear off. You want to talk your ear off about wrestling? I'm a Philadelphia. Want to talk Philadelphia sports? I'll sit down. It doesn't matter to me. Come up and I'll chat with anybody. I absolutely love it.
All right, I ask a question each week about bad wrestling gimmicks facing off against each other, and I'm dying to ask you one. Do you mind?
Sure.
All right, tag match. I've got the Bushwhackers taking on two members of the Dungeon of Doom, which would be the Shark and Zodiac. Who do you got?
I was waiting on who was going to squeeze in a Bushwhacker reference. Dean and I discussed the Bushwhackers in the past. I actually, believe it or not, was able to rep a match of the Bushwhackers against Tully and Arn again in Wawa for WWE when I was still able to get shows through the Athletic Commission when I was traveling with Dick. And those guys actually were a lot of fun.
Wow.
They're funny guys. Just they were great to be around. We had a blast.
Oh, that's awesome.
Dan?
Oh, I'm sorry. It was my turn. All right, Philadelphia sports guy. Philadelphia sports guy. How about them Flyers? What do you think?
Well, last night stunk. Let's put it that way. I don't know what team showed up after the first period. That was just awful.
Yeah.
But I still think they're going to win the series 5 or 6. They're just too young and too fast. I don't think the Devils can keep up with them.
Not the old man. Nope. Go, Dean.
No.
Okay, now you're obviously the senior official of ECWA, so you've worked with a lot of the locker room. Who's some guys from ECWA that you really enjoy as a referee working with?
Well, I thought there's one guy actually to be your next guest who, why he's not with TNA or Japan or WWE right now is beyond me. With him, and I have a good relationship. But Papadon today is one of the most underrated guys in the business who deserves to be on a main stage somewhere and making a living in this business. The guy has the look. He has the ability. He can talk. He can wrestle. He can do it all, and he deserves to be in the WWE right now.
I couldn't agree more. I am a big Papadon fan. So, John, I just want to say thank you for taking this time. We're going to have you back on when we have more time to discuss even more.
Yeah, I would love to do that and make sure everybody that's listening, I hope I see them down in Newark going this Saturday for ECWA. Joe and Mike have put together a fantastic indie promotion, fun, family-friendly, and you get your money's worth. It's a great time. I hope everybody comes down and supports them just like they did for the Super 8 last month.
Like I said, you know, myself and Ryan will be there. We both met you personally. But May 5th will be a night to remember, and we're going to get into that right after we're done with you. But I just want to really say from all of us here, we're so thankful for your time.
All right. It's my pleasure. Anytime, I'll be back on. You let me know.
Okay, I'll set it up.
Cool.
But, John, like I said, it was a pleasure, and I'll see you this Saturday. After the ECW theme, we'll be right back.
Thanks, guys.
Okay, we're back.
I just missed Kodiak Bear.
I was like, Kodiak Bear?
Oh, do you even know who he is?
I don't.
Oh,
I don't.
Be quiet. You have no idea. I'll explain later.
We have on Finnegan. And of all the questions.
I had to do one oddball question.
It was adorable.
Thank you. It's my way. I had to ask one oddball. I seriously marked out when he mentioned Haddonfield and around that area. That's where I grew up. You mentioned Haddonfield. I knew exactly what house he was talking about up on the hill.
Okay, we're changing
Kodiak
gears.
Bear.
I'm about to bring on our correspondent in the field. it's Ryan Big Red. Ryan, how are you?
Ryan Big Red.
Oh, I'm doing good, Dean. How are you?
Okay.
He
Welcome
is
to the cell.
Bear.
Dan, Lowell, and Mark, how are you guys doing?
Great, man.
doing fine until I ask the stupid.
Okay, we're going to run down the event that we have coming up. And, of course, if you want to call in and talk to us, it's 718-664-9133. Again, that is 718-664-9133. This Saturday, there's a big ECWA show. It's Divide and Conquer. Now, the reason it's named Divide and Conquer, the Venomous Blackhearts are Joe's trying to split them up. They're a legion of four evil, venomous guys, and Joe's going to break them up and put them into separate matches. And in one case, he's going to put two of the guys in there together. Now, Ryan, to start off, we have Cole Calloway taking on Ricky the Model Martinez with Magnum and Gus Grand. He's so good, he needs two managers to come out to the ring. What do you think about that one? It's a return from the Rainbow match.
To be honest with you, I think that's going to be a really good match. It's going to be a hard-fought battle, two good competitors in the ring.
Okay, so who do you think is going to win that one?
Oh, that's a tough call. I mean, you know, the Heart always wants to go with, you know, the underdog being Cole, but, you know, you got Martinez with the two managers there. You know, some kind of shenanigans are going to go down.
There will be shenanigans.
I have to give Martinez the edge going into that matchup.
Okay, so you're calling for Ricky the Model. I'm going to go right there.
The Model will win that one.
Okay, now the next match is Kid USA. He is the protege of, what was his name? He was the protege of Kid America. So the protege of Kid America, Kid USA, is taking on the real hero, Corey Blaze. Now, Corey's a little upset with the people because he's a real hero. He's a paramedic. He's fighting fires. He's a real hero. He's tired of these guys with the masks on. So what do you see happening here?
Yeah, I have to go with Corey on that one. I mean, I agree with him. It's kind of upsetting. The man's a firefighter, a medic. I mean, come on now. How do you not cheer that guy? You know, how do you not cheer Corey? He is putting his life on the line each and every day for us. The man should be respected and cheered, absolutely. I'm going Corey on that one.
You know, I can agree with that opinion, but I have to say he went about it completely the wrong way. Fit force Kid America into retirement. No answer,
I mean,
No answer to that, huh? That's what I thought. So,
I mean, come on, you know, he was a little angry, frustrated. A few fists might have slipped and hit, you know, Kid America. You know, I'm just saying.
Okay, the next match. So you're going with on that one, Corey Blaze.
Absolutely, Corey Blaze.
Absolutely. I got to go with Kid USA, the rookie, because he is the protege. He just debuted in March. So I'm going with the rookie. I'm going with the upset. We also have a Four Corners match. This could be the match of the night.
I think it will end up being the match of the night. I am just stoked about this one.
We have beautiful Bobby Shields. We have number one, Johnny Silver. We have the Grand Slam champion, Aiden Chambers. And then, of course, we have Josh Daniels. Now, Bobby Shields and Josh Daniels are part of Blackheart. So there's that dynamic working there as well. Now, this is a top contenders, Four Corners in the match. Now, what that means is there will be tags, only two guys in the ring at the same time. So tagging will be involved. What's going to happen, in my opinion, if you have Blackheart going up against each other? What do you think? A very volatile situation, don't you think?
And it's a hard call because it depends on whether or not Joel can get them to put their egos aside. If he can get them to put their egos aside, then one or the other has a very good chance of winning. If they pick one to win the match ahead of time, that could happen. If they can't put those egos aside, that could just implode right in Blackheart's face.
Okay, yeah, but Joel will not be there. He did make the announcement that he will not be there. So Joel Blackheart will not be there. So that's another dynamic. He will not be there.
He won't be there, okay.
I'm just making sure that everybody understands.
No, he won't be there.
So what do you think? Who do you see coming out of this one, Ryan?
I mean, there's only one person who is number one, so I got to go with Johnny Silver.
You're going with Johnny Silver.
Johnny Silver. He's just too good. Too good to. He's just really good at overcoming the odds. I think Johnny Silver will win this one.
Okay, you heard it there. I'm going to go with the Grand Slam champion, Aiden Chambers. Okay, up next, this is one that you and I, Ryan, we're really looking forward to. It's the Unified Tag Team Titles match. Losers leave ECWA. We actually had Fusion DS on the first show. They're taking on the champions, the Midnight Sensations. This feud has been going on for a year, as we outlined on the first show. We talked about it a lot. Tag titles went back and forth between the two teams. How do you see it?
Oh, come on now. I think, you know, it's going to be the... I'm sorry, I can't keep... I was going to say the Midnight Sensations. I can't keep a straight face on that one.
Okay.
Fusion is going to blow them in the next week. I mean, they're just better at everything. I'm sorry. You know, Fusion, DS, I'm a believer. I know you're a believer. And everybody absolutely needs to believe. Get on the bandwagon. This is the team for 2012, you know, the rest of 2012, 2013. Hell, even beyond that, I'm saying until 2015, this is going to be the team of the year every year.
Every
year. For the next handful of years. Absolutely.
Even though they should have been the team of the year last year, 2011, but somehow the Midnight Sensations won. You're calling for them to be the team of the year from now on.
Absolutely. It's going to be finally that injustice is going to be corrected.
Okay. I'm going with you as well. Fusion DS will be staying. Finally, goodbye to the Midnight Sensations. Oh, then we have...
Sayonara. See you later.
That's right. I'm going to start the na-na-na-nas as they exit the building for the final time. It's going to be a glorious moment to see them leave with their spandex and their frills and whatever.
Tassels.
we're going to see if Fusion, you know, maybe we can get them, you know, to party with us, their victory celebration.
I doubt it, but let's move on here. We have two against Mustafa Aziz. This is going to be the irresistible force meeting the immovable object. What do you see happening there between these two powerhouses?
I mean, this isn't going to be a good match for little children. You got little children, you're going to have to hide their eyes. This is going to be a knockout, drag out, just brawl. These guys are two just beasts in the ring. I think, though, you know, Atu's got a little better athleticism. You know, I think Mustafa's, though, he's a scary, big, powerful guy. I mean, it's a hard call. I think I'm going to get the edge to Atu on this one, but this is going to be just a knockout, drag-out fight.
So you're not even seeing a wrestling match here. You're saying it's going to be...
I'm not even seeing a wrestling match. I just think it's going to be... They're just going to brawl. They're just going to go right at it.
Like two bulls.
Absolutely.
Okay. I'm going with Atu as well because I think someone who wears Satan's halo definitely is going to win. Then we have the TWA title match. Now, if the champion, Breaker Morant, is disqualified, he will lose the title. He is wrestling someone we'll have on the 23rd, the Heartbreaker, Chris Wilde. Where do you see that one, Ryan?
You know... I'm kind of torn on this one. I feel like, yes, in the ring, definitely in the ring. I feel like that I just have to say, you know, give the edge to Chris Wilde on this one. I mean, Breaker, you know, he's used a lot of dirty-handed tricks to keep that title, and I just think his number's up.
Now, yeah, we were in attendance when he used brass knuckles at the March 10th show, so he can't do that this time.
Absolutely. Well, I guess he could technically, but he better not get caught.
There you go. Maybe he'll do something and not get caught. I'm going to go with Breaker Morant. He has had the title for what seems like years. So I'm going to go with Breaker Morant.
I got to go with Chris Wyatt on that one.
And then, of course, the next match is one that is going to blow the roof off the Greater Newark Boys and Girls Club. It is the Mid-Atlantic champion, Kakoa the Flying Hawaiian, taking on the ECWA heavyweight champion, the Greek god Papadon. Ryan, what do you think about that?
Well, even though you guys can't see it right now, I am bowing down the Greek god Papadon right now.
That's a little weird, a little odd, but...
Kakoa's got a lot of fight and a lot of heart, but you know what? You can't beat a god. You know, Papadon is going to absolutely just destroy Kakoa.
Really?
You know, I just think Papadon... He's going to put on a show that we've never seen before, and he is just going to destroy Kakoa. I'm going Papadon all the way. He's going to retain the title. It's just going to be no contest. It's going to be Papadon destroying Kakoa.
Really? Okay. I have to say, Kakoa is looking for redemption after a poor showing at the Super 8. He wants to show his fans that he can. He's the one who actually asked for this match after his first round loss to Bobby Fish. So I think he's going to try to redeem himself. I think it's going to be a really competitive match. But like you, I think after a half hour of some in-ring action that will be hard to duplicate anywhere else, I think it will go with Papadon. And, of course, on May 5th, he is champion for 427 days at that point. So this is a guy who's had a stranglehold on the title. So I don't know. It's going to be interesting to see. I'm calling for Papadon as well. And we also have...
I think at this point, the only thing Kakoa can hope to do is to find a way to get into Papadon's head. Other than that, he has no chance if he doesn't get into the chance head.
My goodness, no chance. You're talking about a very talented wrestler here, Ryan, and you're giving him absolutely no chance.
We're talking about a god, though. He's facing a god.
Oh, well, there you go. And, of course, looming over the whole night like a thundercloud, we have what title will Mr. Ooh-La-La go after, and what will the boss, Mike Tartaglia, have to say about it? What do you think about Ooh-La-La? What title will Ooh-La-La go after?
Ooh-La-La.
All I'm saying is you know, 2012 is the year of Ooh-La-La. Maybe world champion 2012, just throwing it out there.
So you're saying he's going to go after Papadon?
I don't know. I mean, it's a tough call. Who do you go after? You know, it's a tough call. I mean, I think he's going to go after Papadon, but then again, you're going up against the god. Do you take that chance?
Okay, so there it is. That's the card, 7 matches. It is $15 to get into the Greater Newark Boys and Girls Club. That is, of course, 109 Glasgow Drive in Newark, Delaware. Doors open at 6. First bell is 7 o'clock. So, Ryan, I want to thank you for coming on. Do you have anything? Oh, no problem. But do you have anything else you want to say about May 5th's card?
Not really. I just have to say, to follow Finnegan, I don't know if I should say that's an honor or if that's a scary, scary thing. But my goodness, I expect, you know, he is going to have one great call on Saturday.
Okay.
I'm feeling he's going to end up, there will be no indecisions among the referees with Finnegan leading the charge.
There you go.
He'll be right down the middle, clean stuff.
There you go. Ryan, again, thank you. We have to move on, but again, thank you for calling in, and Saturday is going to be a great day. Okay, so guys, now it's time to do what we love to do. It's time to call Papadon.
I hope he answers.
Yeah, I know. I even said that in the outline. If you,
I did. I was behind the scenes there. Mr. Finnegan, Mr. Finnegan said, "Tell the pizza boy I will see him Saturday."
Oh, okay. So I'm dialing right now. Here we go.
Hello?
Hello, is this the Greek god?
Yes, it is.
Hello, you're on the air live with Hell in a Cell Talk Radio. How you doing tonight, sir?
I am doing well. How are you?
I am doing well as well. Now, I want to get into May 5th. What is going on? What's going through your mind? You're finally getting your hands on that dirty Mexican Kakoa.
Okay. It's not a question of me wanting to get my hands on that dirty wet back. I mean, if I do so, then my hands will get all dirty.
Oh, my God.
But what it is, he decided to go back to his roots. He mowed Mike Tartaglia's lawn, trimmed the hedges, did the same for Joey Zanoli at his house, cut the grass, and said, all I want to return is a title shot, a chance at greatness, a chance at Big Red, the ECWA heavyweight title. See, Big Red's the name of the belt, for those people who don't understand what Big Red is. Now, he got his shot, and he wanted to redeem himself. He went on the YouTube and bored people for 2 minutes with his ridiculously lame promo saying he's sorry he tapped out in the first round and he's sorry he let the fans down, his fans. I'm pretty sure both his fans didn't send him hate mail for tapping out in the first round. But, you know, that's what he wants to do. That's what he wants to do. He wants to go in his boyfriend's room and stand in front of the door and cut a lame promo. He's more than welcome to. But fact of the matter is, you know, he's going to realize he bit off more than he can chew. Because May 5th, Cinco de Mayo, I mean, he is a dirty Mexican. And until he shows me that birth certificate and proves me wrong, you know, I have every right to call him a dirty dishwashing Mexican. You know, May 5th, he's going to step into my ring, in my company, in the house that I built, the Newark Boys and Girls Club, to challenge for my title. And he's going to fall short and fail miserably. And then maybe he might go back on the YouTube and cry again like a little girl with a boo-boo. I mean, I hope not, because let's face it, once was bad enough. But aside from that fact, you know, I'm looking forward to the challenge because it's only going to add to my legacy, which is being the greatest wrestler ever to step in an ECWA ring.
Now, it sounds like you're a little bit insulted that he even challenged you. Is that correct?
No, I'm not insulted because when I won the title in the second night of the company, in the second night that I was in the company, excuse me, which was never done before, might I say, without even breaking a sweat, I dethroned the 7-foot giant known as Mega, which was never done before as well. I wasn't insulted because I knew there would be a target on my back. And I knew, you know, challengers would come out of the woodworks from all different ends. And, you know, he snuck over the border and with the rest of his cousins and families and his abuela and, you know, whatever the case may be. And now the majority of them stand in front of Home Depot looking for work. The other ones work in my uncle's diner, washing dishes. Some of them are doing landscaping jobs, whatever the case may be. But fact of the matter is, he wants a shot at greatness. He can have it. He'll fail miserably. I mean, I'm not going to take anything away from the kid. He's a good wrestler. He's the Mid-Atlantic champion, which obviously shows that he has talent. As far as in the ring, we all know he can't cut a promo, but he does have talent in the ring. And you know what? At the end of the day, May 6th, he'll be in his bed, maybe his boyfriend's bed or whatever the case may be, wherever room that was, crying his little heart out again, going on the Facebook and on the Twitter and on the YouTube, apologizing to both his fans and saying, sorry that I'm a dirty Mexican who can't get the job done. Maybe he'll get deported back by INS, you know, La Migra. Maybe they'll send him back to Mexico where, you know, they'll be selling oranges in the street like the rest of the Mexicans do. But you know what? At the end of the day, I'm only as good as my challenges. So, you know, this is an open challenge. Anybody wants to come challenge me for my ECWA title, which is the oldest and most prestigious title in independent wrestling. Come on, bring it down. Like they say in The Price is Right, come on down. You're more than welcome to. You know, I don't care if it's Davey Richards, the Ring of Honor champion. You want to do title versus title. I don't care if it's Colt Cabana, the NWA champion. He wants to do title versus title. You know, I don't care. Hell, it could be CM Punk. You know, I mean, obviously it's not going to happen because of contracts and stuff like that. But fact of the matter is, whoever wants to come out of the woodwork and challenge me for my title, I'm more than happy to accept the challenge because I'm the only person who talks the talk but also walk the walk. You know what I mean there, Double B?
I do know what you're talking about. Mark, you had something for the champ.
So, Papadon, you've clearly got this match on Saturday wrapped up at this point. I mean, what's the next goal for you? What's the next stratosphere for the Greek God?
Well, let me correct you, mere peasant. I don't have the match wrapped up. Just because I talk a good game, let's face it, this is entertainment at the end of the day, so I have to be entertaining to the masses. Just because I can entertain and talk to people and entertain them through my words, unlike Kokoa, unlike Damian Dragon, unlike Chris Wilde, unlike Matt Saigon, The bottom line is, excuse me, the bottom line is, I talk a good game and I also bring it so I can back it up. But I'm not selling anyone short. I'm not turning my eye or my cheek on Chris Wilde. He can beat me at any given time. Hell, anyone on the roster in the ECWA can beat anybody at any given time. In order to be a professional wrestler, you have to have talent and you have to be athletic. And when you're in the squared circle, anything can happen at any moment. So, with that being said, the match isn't all wrapped up yet. The match will be all wrapped up after my hand is raised and I secure and continue to cement my legacy as the greatest ECWA champion and greatest wrestler to ever step in the ECWA ring. But with that being said, what's next? I don't know. You see, sky's the limit. When you're as talented as I am, and you're as good-looking as I am, and you're as marketable as I am, and you're as entertaining as I am, the sky's the limit. What I'd like to do? Well, I'd like to go to Japan. I'd like to wrestle for New Japan or NOAH or whichever company would like to have me in Japan. I mean, don't get me wrong. New Japan would be my first choice. I'd like to wrestle for WWE. So if anyone in Titan Towers is listening to this, wake up and sign the Greek God to a contract. But, excuse me, I would like to get a shot at the NWA title, put that around my waist. There's a million things I would like to do. I mean, at the end of the day, it's only going to add to my legacy. And, you know, I'm saying this right now, I am the greatest unsigned wrestler there is right now. So that in itself speaks volumes. So you tell me what you think is going to happen next, Mark.
Well, I think you just listed everything that I could possibly imagine for you. I mean, seriously, you keep setting the bar higher. And I'd just like to thank you for the honor of letting me ask that question.
Oh, you're very welcome.
Okay, now, Papa Don, we do have a caller. Are you willing to speak to a mere peasant?
Sure.
Okay, let me get the caller on the line. Now, caller, state your name and where you're calling from.
My name is Kekoa the Flying Hawaiian, and I'm calling from the comfort of my home as I was awoken and told that some kind of garbage wrestler is bad-mouthing me and continues to just call me a dirty Mexican and to belittle my people and to continue to just, instead of using his actions in the ring, to keep using his words, to keep saying that everyone is a mere peasant, and to try to basically hide the fact that even though that he is the ECWA heavyweight champion and he's also the Super 8 winner, he continues to try to use his big words and say that he's going to be victorious on May 5th against, that would be me, wouldn't it be?
Oh, my. Papa Don, I believe he's calling you out there. This is a little unexpected here.
Oh, I'm sorry. I fell asleep. I'm sorry. Someone just put me to sleep with their boring tantrum. Is that my friend? Is that mi amigo? Kekoa, the dirty Mexican? How are you, Holmes? Hey, carnal. What's going on, homie?
I don't even understand where the whole Mexican even came from. I mean, it just
Mexico.
It shows the lack of how much you even pay attention to what goes on in the ECWA besides yourself, because you're too busy looking at yourself in the mirror. And every time that you pass me, I just want to throw up in my mouth even that much more. But the fact that you come onto this radio show and you talk about how your great legacy of ECWA, and you want to go here, you want to go there, you don't know what's next for you. Well, I'll tell you what's next for you. It's May 5th, you're dropping your title. That title is coming around my waist, and that's exactly why I called you out, because I'm sick and tired of you running your mouth, and I'm tired of everybody telling me that you cannot be defeated. That's why I made this match.
Oh, really? Hold on. First off, how long did you practice that monologue? Second off, did you put on your big boy voice before you enter this show and try to talk all tough and mighty. Listen, Kakoa, I'm going to state the facts, and the facts are this. You are a talented wrestler. I've never took that away from you. I said on all my interviews that I've done that you are a talented individual in the ring. You can't cut a promo. You're boring as hell. But you are a talented individual in the ring. I give you that, all right? You are a champion, which speaks volumes. You're the Mid-Atlantic champion, which speaks volumes. But you're a champion. I'm the champion. So that in itself speaks volumes. Maybe I'll tell you in Spanish so you can understand. But I also want to state a fact. I've asked you since day one to provide me with a birth certificate showing me that you were born in Hawaii, that you are an American citizen. You have not yet shown anyone a birth certificate. Instead, you follow the banter of the peasants and you post a picture of a pizza on Twitter. How original. But aside from that fact, lo and behold, until I see that birth certificate, all you are is a boring promo and a dirty, dishwashing, disgusting, Keanu Reeves-looking Mexican. That's it. Plain and simple. If you don't like it, you know what? Why don't you go on the Twitter or on the Facebook or on the YouTube and cry about it like you did your loss to Bobby Fish. Maybe both your fans will write you some sympathetic mail to make you feel better. Maybe they'll buy you a sympathy card from Hallmark. What do you want me to tell you? But fact of the matter is, you know, you cut Joe's grass, you trimmed Mike's bushes, and you got your shot at the title. So 20 years from now, when you're sitting, you know, at home on the couch, you know, washing some dishes or who knows, just relaxing with your family, you're going to tell them one night that you won the ring with greatness, but you couldn't get the job done because for as good as you are, I am just that much better.
Kakoa?
Yeah, I'm still here. I thought somebody else was going to be speaking because I was damn near done, tired of listening to this bozo on the other line.
You sure? That's the best rebuttal you can come up with? You can't even talk straight. You're stumbling over your own words.
Yeah, I'm stumbling over my own words because the mere fact that you have to come on everywhere that you go. And when you even say the Facebook and the Twitter, first off, that's not even what you call it. It's just Facebook and Twitter. I don't know if you have Alzheimer's because you've been in this wrestling business for so long that you're going over the hill now, but that's not the way you say it. So come into my terms, okay? Because I have been busting my butt in the ECWA, like you said, and now that I'm an ECWA Mid-Atlantic champion, at least shows that I do have some skill. And the skill set that's going to be coming your way on Saturday is going to be more than you've ever expected. And after this matchup on May 5th, you're going to be washing my dishes. And you're going to be the one that's going to be cutting my grass. And then you're going to be the one that's cleaning the crap off the bottom of my shoe, which is going to be your face. So if you want to keep talking that way, then you better step up. Because I'm
Someone hold the presses. I think this boy's balls just dropped. I can't believe it. He's talking all tough and mighty. I love it. Let me explain something to you there, kid, all right? The reason why I call it the Twitter, the Facebook, the YouTube, it's not because I don't know the name. It's because it adds emphasis, okay? People remember things like that in a promo. They don't remember you hanging out in your boyfriend's room in front of his door with your hat to the back, cutting some lame promo with no taglines and no strong finish at the end of the promo. This is an entertainment. This is sports entertainment. This is pro wrestling. You have to be entertaining. This is why boxing is dead now, because their champions and their fighters are not entertaining like a Mike Tyson or a Muhammad Ali. Me, I'm the full package. I entertain in the ring. I entertain out the ring. You, on the other hand, entertain in the ring, and then when you're not in the ring, you're selling oranges on the freeway with your parents, or you're standing in front of Home Depot with your cousins looking for work. What do you want me to tell you? You really think you can go in a verbal debate with the Greek god? You're out of your mind, son. You keep talking bad to me, I'll fire your cousin Pepe in the diner and send him back to Mexico. So come on. You really want to go 15 rounds with me?
What
Let's go.
What else do you have? What else do you have? All you keep going towards is my family, which is from Hawaii, by the way. Hawaii. I don't know where you even get Mexican. I don't have a Mexican accent. I don't even work at a Home Depot. I don't go anywhere near a Home Depot. So I don't even know where you keep getting these accusations from. And the fact that you keep asking me for my birth certificate is just showing that much more that you're not focused on the match, which is what you should be. Because sooner or later, when you're not focused enough, as I am this Saturday, that's when you're going to lose it. And then that's when you're going to be staring at the lights, and you're going to realize that you should have paid attention, that you should have been in the ring training, or you should have been in the gym working out, instead of worrying about whether or not my pizza is going to be delivered on time, and you're going to owe me a free dinner. So that's when you should start paying attention.
Really?
Because otherwise,
really?
You're going to
go with a Papa. You're going to go with a Papa John pizza joke. Really? You're really going to lower yourself to the
Are you really
going to
go with another Mexican joke? Are you really
no, I really wasn't going to go with a Mexican joke. What I was going to tell you is this. You know, Double D just called me. I'm coming home from the gym. You know, I just did a workout. Maybe you're not familiar with the gym. Maybe you are. I'm not sure. But you just said you were just woken up by somebody texting you because I was talking trash on the radio. See, that's the difference, okay? It's 10:30 at night. I'm coming home from the gym. 10:30 at night, guess what? You're sleeping. Okay, midnight yesterday, I was at the gym. What were you doing at midnight? You're probably spanking one out, watching some soft corn porn or something. But fact of the matter is, listen, you're talented. You have a bright future. I'm not denying that, okay? But you're not on my level. No one's on my level. I'm undefeated. I made history. Second night in this company, I won the title. I won the Super 8, a tournament that you were in, and you lost first round. And instead of taking it like a man and picking yourself up and moving forward and being a champion and keeping your head high, you go on the Facebook, that's right, the Facebook, and you apologize to both your fans. And you cry like a little girl. So, you know what? What are you going to do Sunday? Saturday will be 427 days that I'm champion. 427 days. On Sunday, it'll be 428 days. What are you going to do Sunday? Huh?
You know what, Greg? You know what? You're right. You're right. I'm not the ECWA heavyweight champion, and I'm not the Super 8 winner, and I don't have as prestigious of a record as you do. You're right. I can't take that away from you. Okay, and there's a long list of things that you have that I don't, but I'm going to say one last thing, and then I'm going to hang up my phone because I'm tired of listening to you. I don't have what you have, okay? But there is something that I'm going to be able to say Saturday, May 5th, and that's I beat the Greek god, Papadon. So have yourself a good night, and I'll see you in the ring.
Well,
wow.
Okay.
Wow.
He can't even close a radio conversation with a strong tagline like survive if I let you, or like Taz used to close off with, or something, some type of gimmick phrase. He has nothing. Seriously, did you hear how he just finished that sentence? Good night. My name is Kikoa. I wish you well. I will see you Saturday in the ring. Come on. If I wanted to hear something like that, I'd call Movie Phone, you know? Hello, and welcome to Movie Phone. Come on. Are you serious? Are you serious, Double D?
Hey, it's a public forum, I guess, and he, you know, he got woken up and gave a call. I'm a
No, dude. Come on. Listen. I am not offended that he called. I'm not upset. I'm sitting here, I'm laughing. Why am I laughing? Because I never thought this kid had the huevos to give a call and, you know, actually try to battle me verbally, you know? I'm even surprised he asked for the match because he doesn't realize that he bit off more than he can chew. You know what I'm trying to say there, Double D? But I do want you to understand this. May 5th, whether you love me, whether you hate me, whether you buy a shirt, whether you call me Papa John, Pizza God, whatever the hell, you do respect me at the end of the night. Because for as much trash as I talk, for as entertaining that I am outside of the ring in my promos or on a radio show, a podcast, I bring it in the ring. I can talk the talk. I can walk the walk. I have the track record to prove it. I will continue to prove it. And I'm just going to make Kikoa another notch in my belt Saturday.
Okay. I was going to ask if you had anything else to say before we wrapped up with you, but I think
I think
of course
that
I did,
pretty
brother.
Much settles it, yeah.
Okay.
Listen, I'm the Greek god. I know that. I know it. I knew you were going to say that. How did I know that? Because I'm the best. I am the greatest unsigned talent there is today. Bar none. And May 5th, after I'm done smacking Kokoa around, he's going to wish he was back in Mexico, you know, sitting on some street corner, playing guitar, wearing a sombrero. I mean, that's it. Maybe he'll be eating a, maybe he's going to be wishing he was eating a taco or burrito or quesadilla or something, you know? Or who knows? Maybe I'll stop at the petting zoo and I'll bring a donkey over so he can feel like he's at home. He can ride the donkey back to Mexico. You know what I'm saying? I mean, seriously.
I certainly do. I look forward to seeing you May 5th. My goodness.
I can't wait for this match.
It's going to blow the roof off. Papadon, it's always a pleasure when you join us.
Absolutely.
Well, thank you, man. I appreciate your time, gentlemen. And one last thing to all the fans, peasants, commoners, bottom feeders out there listening to this great show, make sure you purchase your ticket for May 5th. Go to ECWAProWrestling.com for all the info and details. I guarantee you, you'll not be disappointed with the card and the action that the ECWA will provide you. You will not be disappointed in seeing the greatest wrestler to ever step in the ECWA ring, the Greek god Papa Don. And at the end of the night, ECWA will make you a fan all over again.
Papa Don, again, it's a pleasure.
Thank you, Papa
Don. All right, brother. Thank you. Have a good night, guys.
You too now.
You too, sir. Bye. Oh, my God. Stuff got real.
I think it kind of did there. I'm going to play out his theme, and we'll be right back. Well,
that music just ushers in greatness. That just sounds like something great's about to happen.
And when you hear it at the ECWA arena, as I call it, it certainly does mean great things are about to happen. Now, that was quite a surprise. Kokoa calling in, my goodness.
How do you follow that up, man?
The only way I possibly can is to tell people exactly where to see the action. It is the Greater Newark Boys and Girls Club, 109 Glasgow Drive. That's in Newark, Delaware. Like I said, doors open at 6. Bell time is 7 o'clock sharp. It's not one of these promotions that advertise that the door opens at 6 and then 8 o'clock you're still standing outside. They open the doors promptly at 6 and... The bell does sound at 7 o'clock.
And by the way, you get all the information at ECWAProWrestling.com. They actually got an excellent website, so all the information is there. Links to tickets, video pictures, it's all there.
Yeah, and it has the card set up there for you. So that is probably your best destination, ECWAProWrestling.com. Go there as well. I also want to say May 6th, the day after, New Moon Rising Wrestling is having their fully loaded card. You can find out more about that at www.nmrwrestling.com. I do want to thank Robert Knight for his appearance today and reading some fan mail that we
got. That was awesome, too.
Oh, it was great.
So you can find him at twitter.com/RobertKnight_, because that dirty imposter is still out there. Papadon, you can find on Twitter at Greek God Papadon. You can also find him at Facebook at GreekGod.Papadon. Kokoa, you can find at Twitter.com, and that's Kokoa FH. And you can also find him at Facebook slash Flying H.
The Facebook.
yeah, the Facebook, as we found out today. We also, I would be remiss if I did not bring up the fact that we are part of the lineup on thebradyhicks.com. The replay of this show will be on Thursday nights, 9:30, and then you can stream it anytime after that. You can also like us, not like us, but you can subscribe in iTunes.
You could like us.
Well, yeah, you can like us. You can subscribe in iTunes. You don't have to like us.
You don't have to like us, but just listen to the darn show, darn it.
Yeah, that's search for Hell in a Cell Talk Radio comes right up. We do have two ratings on there. Thank you, William Olson, for a wonderful review.
Thank you, Mom.
No, it's William Olson. He's one of the guys from the he's an ECWA fan.
I was being serious.
I know. You can also follow Hell in a Cell Talk Radio on Twitter at HIAC Talk Radio.
And both Dean and I are heavily active on there.
Yeah, probably a little bit too much. You can also find me at Folsom County. That's on Twitter. You can find Dan Law at DanLaw83 on Twitter. And, of course, Go Thompson is at Go Thompson on Twitter.
Stop, man. Let's chat.
A little bit. I think it's necessary. I was just getting all that out there because, my goodness, what a show we had tonight, guys.
How are you?
Honestly, I had like a heart attack in the middle of the show. I got to be honest.
Oh, is that where you went?
Yeah. Well, there was just so much happening. I mean, you know, we got to talk to Finnegan, and then I had a heart attack. And then
yeah, I pooped myself.
You know, we talked to the Greek god, and he basically tore me apart, and then I had a heart attack.
Well, he's done it to both. He's done it to me. He's done it on our sister show. He's done it to me. He's done it to Dean. He's done it to Tony.
Well, you know, I guess it's a rite of passage. But,
I just learned. Yeah, I wasn't going to bother asking a question because I just no, not tonight.
But to be fair, you know, I feel good about the question I asked. I'm like, oh yeah, I could have been shredded worse.
I think you could have.
It's always worse.
Yeah,
I mean, but there's always worse. Like talking over him, like Tony did once, and that didn't end too well.
Yeah, we have that's on YouTube somewhere. I'll put it on the.
It's pretty great.
I'll put it on the Twitter.
Listen, no, I'm not finished yet. I'm not finished yet, son. Shut your mouth.
Well, what I didn't understand about that whole incident, and this is a little behind the scenes stuff, but Tony was trying to rap after 5 minutes with Papadon.
Yeah, that doesn't happen.
And I'm like, what? What are you doing?
What are you doing? Well, guess what? Papadon wasn't wrapped yet.
Yeah, he wasn't quite ready to leave. He didn't get his points across.
I tell you what.
He is a man that you run on his schedule. Do you know what I'm saying?
Well, you know what? I've interviewed him 3 times and not once has he called us.
That is very true.
You call me and I'll answer the phone. Okay, sir. That's a man, in person, and you guys are listening, whoever's listening, you have not been to a show. You need to go.
I
my word one day, because I'm not going to make this show. I'm making the June 2nd show.
You'll be there.
Oh, I'm going. After today, I'm going to go.
Well, one thing I do want to bring up, June 2nd is the return of Bandito Jr., and Adam Cole is going to be on the card as well.
The cat, Stacy Carter?
Yeah, that's right.
And I'll be there. Come on!
And Dan Law from Hell in a Cell Talk Radio. So, and, of course, Big Red will be there as well.
Be there.
I hope that Dan Law also has 8x10s, much like Robert Knight.
You know what?
That would be awesome.
You know what, guys? It's going to come now.
I hope that it's him in a pool wearing a T-shirt.
I'll definitely be wearing a T-shirt. Let's just say that. Oh, man.
I'm just saying. I know our target demographic. All right, guys?
Target demographic? It will not be me in a bikini.
Fat guys wearing T-shirts. They have to eat a white T-shirt.
Dude, I already have it. The nipples and everything. We're
preferably cutoffs.
It's literally the worst wet shirt concept you've ever been to.
You know what? I'll wear cutoff shorts. It'll be me coming out of the pool.
Oh, and if anybody wants to, you know, the stream will be available because we're going into overtime because this is too much fun.
It is. And really, honestly, Follow Go Thompson on Twitter. Follow Folsom County. Follow DanLaw83 on Twitter. We're funny. Well, I'm funny. I'm above average.
He's the above average comedian. I think that's going to stick after
I'm going with that, brother. That's it.
It's actually, it's really a great stolen gimmick from the late 90s, early 2000s of WCW.
Yeah, well, everything above that was below average. Well, seriously, you know what? You're going to mention that for a second. I'm going to get serious for a second. When WCW, in the 99, 2000, they would still run worldwide on WGTW, Channel 19. And Bobby Heenan, it was basically Primetime Wrestling version 2. Now, I am not comparing whatsoever Scott Hudson to the late, great Gorilla Monsoon. But Bobby Heenan did the show. When they kicked him off Nitro, they kicked him off Thunder, they still had him doing Worldwide Wrestling. And that was worth watching an hour of that BS. Bobby Heenan was gold on that show. And you want to talk about above average. That made WCW. When he stopped announcing, I'd put it on mute, man. I don't want to listen to Tony Schiavone talk.
Bobby Heenan's a great American.
Bobby Heenan is a great American. Yes, Bobby Heenan, the great American. That's the next book.
Are we writing that?
I'm going to write that.
I'm in.
Let's write it. Let's write a book about Bobby Heenan.
You know what I forgot to
Bobby
plug?
Bobby Heenan, the great American.
When we were on, the fact that we're going to be pre-gaming the show.
Oh, dude!
I totally forgot.
Didn't you say we were part of the lineup?
No,
I didn't even say we were doing the pregame. So,
dude, I promote it on Twitter. I've been promoting on Twitter the whole time. You promote on Twitter, it'll get out there, man.
Yeah, don't worry, and trust me, we're pregaming the wrestling, but I'll be pregaming in the parking lot, which is totally different.
Well, like I said, they do sell $2 beers at the Woodbury American Legion. So,
beer in Woodbury.
Yeah, they do. Yeah, what? It's like a dry town.
I was gonna say. I mean, there's. What's in Woodbury?
The American Legion.
Legion with.
And I think a Staples is there.
I think there's a Staples and a Walmart.
Well,
nearby.
Well, really, that's like the three things you need in any great town.
A Staples, a VFW hall, and a Walmart.
That's what our country is built on, man.
That is the Staples.
See your Walmart and raise it by a Target.
Oh,
maybe
my God.
We get Shane Douglas to co-manage it.
Shane Douglas, actually, I'm going to briefly talk about via YouTube today. I don't have the clip.
For the show?
Yeah, for the show. He apologized for Extreme Reunion, apologized for the toxic environment, and he pretty much retired as well.
No.
Yeah, he's retiring from in-ring action, so he's just going to book it.
He should retire from booking and wrestling.
I don't know who booked it. I know he was part of the booking, but I don't. There had to be other people involved.
Speaking of WCW 2000, the Revolution.
Can I go to bat for him just real quick here?
Sure.
No.
Just like look, okay, it was a bad show. All right, but weren't there some extenuating circumstances that caused this show to kind of dip into the lower grade as opposed to the higher grade?
There were certain sentiments around, in the crowd because they found out. Well, no, they found out about Sabu. Our caller Matt the other day brought up the fact that he was looking forward to Just Incredible, probably the only one of the 2100 that were there.
True.
But
he was there in his Aldo Mantoya mask.
But there were.
Are you serious? Oh, no, you're being funny.
No, I was being funny.
Oh.
That was a joke that you totally just stomped
I all know,
over.
I'm so sorry. I'm bad boy.
You are, but I mean, there were certain elements, but there was it was just oddly booked anyway, without those elements in there. You know, the run-ins, Homicide being involved in his concurrent fifth angle. There's just a lot of stuff that just didn't make sense. Sabian and Ruckus being involved.
You know what it sounds like, though?
What?
Too many Chiefs, not enough Indians.
It could have been something like that. I think there was definitely a CZW. They were helping out somehow. And if you want to know the worst show I saw this year. It was the 13th anniversary CZW show.
Well, you went to a CZW show, first of all. I mean...
But the thing is, there's talent on those shows.
Yeah, it's not their fault.
They're getting a booking.
Yeah, that's what I mean. I'm not making fun of the wrestlers. I'm talking about the booking.
Well, yeah, I mean... Say what you want about DJ Hyde. He has done some good.
I didn't say anything about DJ Hyde.
But, well, you said the booking, so that's DJ Hyde. But
say
what you will about DJ Hyde. He does help guys. He's preparing guys for the next level, at least. So.
I'm sorry. I'm reading Papa Don's latest update on Facebook.
What'd he say?
Just verbally, I don't think I can say that word. Just verbally forced himself upon sexually Kakoa, Dirty Mexican, live on Hell in a Cell Talk Radio. What will the Dirty Mexican do when I slap him on Saturday, May 5th?
My goodness.
Weepa!
Oh, he did the weepa. Oh, my.
That's not your line. You can't use that.
Oh, my.
You can't use that.
It's not trademarked.
Yo, dude, believe me.
Can I hear my clip?
Oh, I should have played that. Oh.
Play it now, man. People are listening. We got good numbers.
It's still real to me, damn it.
I think there's some legitimate heat between... Wait, Dan, I need silence just for a second. That's all. But I think there's definitely some legitimate heat between Papadon and Kakoa.
No.
It's still real to me, damn it.
Some definite legitimate heat.
It's still real to me, damn it. My favorite part is that they're just not going to hug it out, you know?
You know, I thought for a second that they would. There seemed like a brief period where Coco was like, you know what?
You know what? I love you, man.
I was like, okay.
You're right about my promos, and I'm sorry. And Papa Don was going to be like, sure, let me teach you how to cut a promo. And then that just flew out the window.
Let me give you a tagline that you can work on.
Here, you know what? Let me help you out. This is how you make a pizza.
Oh, you did not do that.
He I like how tough Dan you. Is after Papa Don.
I didn't say anything. It was Dean.
No, that was Dan. It was definitely a Dan Law comment.
I'm so dead.
I'm tweeting it to him later.
Hey, you can't do that.
I'm going to get on the Twitter.
Can you do that? How can we make fun of one person and not the other?
He's getting on the Twitter.
You just made fun of him, so shut up.
Papa Don's going to get a high five and break the neck.
I'm going to die. Shut up.
Well, guys, definitely. It was that type of show.
It really was.
I think great.
Kodiak for life.
You know what? Kodiak Bear, thinking back, I think it works.
It does.
I think it works.
That's why you came down to me so hard behind the scenes.
I didn't know. I was just like, Kodiak Bear. See,
listen. Here was my very simple thoughts about that. I've seen Kodiak Bear wrestle a bunch of ECW shows. If you saw the guy, you'd remember him wrestling once or twice. It's not like that guy we know who always said, yeah, I wrestled Kevin Nash at a dog show. it's not like that guy.
You ask about Kodiak Bear every show now.
I was going to do that. Just like, hey, you know who Kodiak Bear is? I actually contacted a gentleman who did used to work with him. I'm going to actually try to find him now. But
you're going to help him shave.
I'm going to help him shave. Listen, you think you're afraid of Papa Don? If this guy's still alive, don't say anything about him, please.
We're part of the Back Hair Brotherhood, man. I don't have to worry about that.
Man, there you go. Yeah, same here, man. But he...
T-shirt at the beach.
Cut-off t-shirt.
It's like a V-neck. It has to be a V-neck.
It's with a V-neck. So we're going to work on an 8x5. It's going to be me coming out of a pool with a cut-off T-shirt. It's going to be a V-neck T-shirt. It's going to be a white one. It's going to be wet. And all you're going to just see is these nips.
And the fact it's an 8x5, not an 8x10.
Not an 8x10. 8x5.
Well, if we do 8x5s, we double our profits on them.
Exactly. It's cheaper to print.
All three of us.
And it's a serious, like, we print them out as a serious 8x5, too, with Hell in a Cell co-host, Dan Wall. And
it's going to be great around Christmas when we put out the Hell in a Cell calendar.
Oh, yeah, Hell in a Cell calendar. And it's just me all month, taking another step out of the pool with this shirt on.
I call October with a strategically placed jack-o'-lantern.
Oh.
I call... Never mind.
March, with a dandy. March with a dandelion, that's what I said.
I get January two snowballs.
Don't you want to go with two New Year's balls?
New Year's ball? No, then I get December with a pine tree.
Well, I went to December with some mistletoe.
With the mistletoe right above the boys.
That's right.
Okay.
Oh, my goodness.
The moment when someone picks February in a groundhog?
Only it's not a groundhog.
Well, next week, guys, we have the Wrestling Roundtable.
Huh?
Yeah, Wrestling Roundtable. It's going to be Pro Wrestling Illustrated Editor-in-Chief Frank Ruda and referee Jimmy Dillon from the UWF and New Moon, and he's around.
The UWF?
Not that UWF.
No, I know.
The Urban Wrestling Federation, which mixes hip-hop and wrestling. So I'm interested to ask Jimmy a few questions about that.
So am I.
Yeah. And we also have Ophidian the Cobra.
Oh, my God.
On the show. So
that I'm looking forward to.
It should be a very interesting night next week.
This was one of the greatest podcasts ever. End of story.
Hard to top this week.
Even if you're not a wrestling fan, that was fun.
It really was. Any last words, guys?
I think, again, we're going to plug this hard, ECWA May 5th. If you are a wrestling fan, the way this has been building up, you're going to see two of the greats, hopefully future of the business, but two of the greats right now in independent wrestling each other, ECWA, Divide and Conquer. If you do not have tickets, if you're listening to this on the podcast, ECWAProWrestling.com, if you don't buy tickets, you're not a wrestling fan.
It's 109 Glasgow Drive. There should be tickets available at the door, but the way things are going, maybe not. They have had sellouts, standing room only.
Legitimate sellouts.
Where they had to turn people away. So
what is it? Is that 1,200?
What?
Is that 1,200 or more or less?
What? Where? When they sold out?
No, at the standing room only. How many people you fit in there?
Oh well, that was YMCA. It was probably, I estimate, between 350 and 400 people were there.
All right, so less than 1,200.
Yeah, I was like 1,200.
Well, it looks like a big building. That's why I'm asking.
Oh, yeah, yeah, but it was just, like, the gym part of it, like, off to the side there.
Gotcha.
But 109 Glasgow Drive, Greater Newark Boys and Girls Club in Newark, Delaware.
Go to this wrestling match.
And the following day...
I was going to say, not to be undersold, Dean, but the next day.
The next day, Mark and I, Dan, will be joining us via satellite.
Via satellite?
We'll be
the
live.
Satellite dish we rented to get Dan on the
broadcast.
Ridiculous.
Like Al Franken, right?
It's like a moon landing.
One small step for Dan, so, one giant leap for Hell in a Cell.
Mark and I will be in person. Dan will be joining us as well for a live pregame. We're going to talk to the Me Society. We're going to talk to Robert Knight. We're going to talk to Blackie. The Empire will be there. We're going to talk to, hopefully, Masked Assassin number 37. Tank Toland, the former commissioner, Crap for Face. We might get lucky and talk to him. So who knows what's going to happen.
I would say real quick, the only reason I'm not appearing is I've had tickets to a baseball game the same day for months.
No, that's fine.
No one's judging you, Dan. Come on, buddy.
No, I was just explaining how the great Dan Long won't be there.
But will... Oh, will you be joining us? If you have tickets to it. Are you going to be, like, at the game calling in? Or?
No, it's a late game. Don't worry about it.
Oh, it's like an ESPN.
I have my day planned out, which won't work out at all.
Okay. If you gotta go, you can go.
I'll be calling. We're live. Let's wrap this up.
I know, but I'm just saying. I'm excited about it. It's going to be an experiment. It's going to be a growing process.
It's our first live broadcasting.
If it works, then I'll show up.
Yeah, you know, New Moon has been very.
All these goons under the bus.
Yeah, let those assholes go out there.
Yeah, you got that too. But New Moon's been very supportive of what we do, and we're supportive of them. So.
And it's greatly appreciated. We're just starting out. We're a month into this, and reaching out and reaching back is happening faster than I expected.
It's a wonderful thing. So for tonight's guest, it was Robert Knight, it was John Finnegan, it was Papadon, and the surprise call of Kakoa. Of course, for Go Thompson, the above average comedian Dan Law, I am Double D, and see you Sunday live from New Moon Rising Wrestling, fully loaded.
Long live Good Anchor.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woohooer, a hand clapper, a high fiver? I kind of like the high five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses. So don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18+.